Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Chalk Talk. I am your host, Kim Davis. It is Thursday, November the 15th. Can you guys believe that it's November the 15th? Like, there's another month and a half, and it'll be 2019. Wow. And next week is Thanksgiving. Speaking of that, and I'll remind you again when you're at the show. Next week's show is going to be on Tuesday. Period. First of all, let me stop and say, man, you know, best wishes to all of you folk out in Southern California who are dealing with those horrific fires. So many lives lost, so much property lost. All we can do is just send thoughts and prayers to people in Southern California. You know, the week before, a couple weeks ago, they had the shooting at Thousand Oaks. So just a lot happening in the world. Just want to send well wishes and try to spread some love to people around the world, especially around just everywhere, right? And here in Houston, there's been more violence. My alma mater, Lamar High School, maybe a week and a half ago, two young men, two teenagers, murder-suicide, 15 years old. Took place. Those two teenagers attended Lamar High School, and earlier this week, a shooting with another young man being shot to death outside, right near Lamar High School, who attended Lamar High School, and another teenager who was shot and hospitalized. So, listen, it is so much happening in the world. All I can do is continue to send good wishes. And I hope that people will choose love over hate and violence and continue to be prayerful about kind of the state of where we are right now. So I wanted to say that as we start the show today, because although we talk about sports here, we talk about politics, and we talk about hot topics, there's nothing any more important than life. And so we have to stop. I have to stop and make that acknowledgement before I go any further into talking about anything else, because everything else pales in comparison. So I can only imagine what those parents, those families, the people who are of those young teenagers, they're teenagers, but babies, right, whose lives have been lost and who are caught up in this struggle of violence and needing to belong. That's really how people end up getting in gangs. For that is gang related. I'm not suggesting the two 15-year-olds were in a gang, but I'm finding more and more young people are struggling with belonging. And so I have been really giving some thought and actually, you know, being prayerful about what I'm supposed to do, what my role is supposed to be to help in that space. Because I see so many young people, teenagers and young people, feeling isolated and lonely. And there's got to be something we can help them do, how to communicate, how to resolve conflict. What does that look like, and what's our place? I don't know where you are at it. Those are just some things I'm thinking about. So as we start today's show, I wanted to just kind of share that. All right, so listen, today is the 15th of November. The Houston Rockets have been, you know, they won two games in a row now. They won at Denver on Tuesday night. They are back home tonight. The Rockets are 6-7. They are hosting the Golden State Warriors tonight. The Warriors are 12-3. I think to start the season, many people look to this game and say, man, this is going to be a great matchup. And those of us who have been following the Rockets hope that it's just a really good contest. It'd be great for the Rockets to win. The Rockets have won one game at home. Their last game they won in Denver, 109-99. They beat the Nuggets. And let me see what Let me pull up their recent game. So they, here we go. They also won at Indiana. They won at home on Sunday night. That was their first home win of the season. They beat the Indiana Pacers. And they lost at San Antonio on Saturday night. And they lost at Oklahoma City last week. So anyway, the Rockets team is at this point, and who would have thought we'd be saying this, is a win tonight would put them back at 500, would put them back at even. And so the Rockets are trying to, you know, still figure out who they are. You know, they've been struggling, obviously, defensively. We talked about the defensive struggles. Nationally, people are talking about what a huge loss Trevor Ariza and Mbah Amute have been for the Rockets. And, of course, there has been the conversation around what's going on or what has been going on with Carmelo Anthony. So Carmelo Anthony, of course, was picked up by the Rockets as a free agent in the offseason. And, the thought was Carmelo has, you know, a lot of offense. Defense has never been his strong suit. That's not why you bring Carmelo to your team, because you're expecting him to be a great defender, but he can score. At any rate, the Houston Rocket experiment did not last long. And in fact, Carmelo is, you know, by all accounts, no longer with the Rockets. and the conversation has been, you know, where will he go next? Now, Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, really, on Sunday, when he was asked about it at the home game, before the game against the Pacers, said, you know, it's not true that, you know, that he's, not going to be here, or the rumors about Carmelo are the unfair and untrue, and he's done everything we've asked him to do. And so it went on that road. But, you know, let's remember, the Rockets have been trying to get Carmelo Anthony for a minute, okay? And then you get him. And he is a future Hall of Famer, right? And so I think they want to be careful with how they handle it. You don't want to be seen as being negative about Carmelo Anthony. But it's not a great look. Last week, one day, Wade sent out a tweet and said, hey, you know, basically, you know, don't make my guy the scapegoat. We know what the real issue is there. So there's been all of these sub-conversations. The team has been really quiet. The players, everyone said very good things about Carmelo Anthony. But the fact that so soon into this experiment, you say, never mind. I don't think anybody who watches basketball and knows anything about the game would say for one moment that Carmelo has been a problem with this Rockets team. This Rockets team, the problem has been they've had their defense has been subpar. You know, they've not been a good defensive team. And they've not been a great offensive team. One of the things they were known or expected to be able to do was to score points. Chris Paul has looked a little sluggish at times. You know, James Harden is averaging 27 points a game. Clint Capella is grabbing down 10 rebounds. Clint Capella is looking, you know, more like himself, if you will. James Harden is the leader in assists with almost 8 and steals at 2.3. So, you know, there are, it's interesting, right? There's some interesting things about what's happening with this Rockets team. On the other side of the court tonight, there's also the interesting kind of dynamic with the Golden State Warriors, where Draymond Green will come back tonight from the suspension after he and Kevin Durant kind of mixed it up at the end of the game the other night. Green was suspended for conduct detrimental to the team on Tuesday, so he missed the Warriors' win over Atlanta. And, they're not really trying to talk about it a whole lot publicly, which I get that, right? I get that. So the Warriors were undoubtedly prepared for what's to come after the world saw them. It was Monday night against the Clippers. They lost to the Clippers at the Staples Center. And it was a blow up, and the exchange wars, but apparently in those wars, in that exchange, Draymond insinuated or said that basically Kevin Durant is putting himself above the team, he's got one foot out the door, it's all about him, blah, blah, blah. I think that was the thing that probably created or led to the expansion. At any rate, the Warriors were not only without Green, they will also continue to play without Steph Curry, who strained his left abductor. So Green should be in the lineup when they play the Rockets tonight at Toyota Center. And, you know, under normal circumstances, like a matchup between what people would call last season or even at the start of this season, a matchup between league titans, what people would say, that would dominate the headlines. But with the Warriors showing the slightest amount of fraying in their team fabric, it stands to reason that the dialogue has shifted to how they move beyond the conflict. Here's what I said. The Warriors will be fine. They will probably be the NBA champions again at the end of this season. And I don't think it's going to really fray how they perform and move forward on the court. I don't think it from Draymond. I don't think it from Kevin Durant. The question will be, will it have an impact? Will it play any role whether or not Kevin Durant, as a free agent this summer, decides to re-sign with the Golden State Warriors, or will he take his MVP-type skills and go someplace else? We won't know until the summer of 2019, but what we do know right now is the Warriors still have the best team in the NBA, and they are still it is still the team to beat, all right? So speaking of controversy, I mentioned the Carmelo Anthony issue. So that's the Rockets kind of own controversy with Carmelo Anthony away from the team as the two sides try to reach an understanding regarding his role moving forward. So I don't know. Apparently players feel like he's done, okay? He hasn't played. He's been out with an illness. And let me just say this. When I hear professional players talk about an illness, or like Jimmy Butler last week didn't play one day because of general soreness, yeah, that is, I'm sitting out to figure out what's going on. I mean, that's just my own take, but that whole illness, it's vague and I guess you could be sick of the situation. That could be deemed an illness, right? So the Rockets are trying to figure out his role. Anthony missed his third consecutive game on Tuesday, and the Rockets won for a second time in his absence. So some say they resemble the team that challenged the Warriors last season. They did look a lot better. Let me pull up the box from that game. It was so the Rockets, the final was 109-99. I want to pull up the box score if I can. So Rockets starters, Clint Capella had 24 points. James Ennis had 16 points. James Harden finished with 22. Chris Paul had 21. P.J. Tucker had 12. Jerry Michael Clark had 15. Didn't score any points off the bench. Eric Gordon had 11 off the bench. And Harden had 3. So it was by your starters, they looked much more like this kind of team that they had, you know, the kind of output that we've been seeing. Hello, Tamela Martin. Good morning, my friend, my dear sister. It's good to see you. So the Rockets, so here's what happens in any kind of business, which is really what sports is a business. So the Rockets are trying to figure this piece out, right? How do we have harmony? You know, I think you guys heard me talk about this a lot in the offseason. It's not just who the Rockets can bring to their team. It has to be someone who is a good fit in terms of chemistry, in terms of the locker room. I think, by all accounts, Carmelo Anthony was good in that sense, right? He was a good team member and good in terms of in the locker room. But does his game match what the Rockets do? I don't know. Many of you have inboxed me and DM'd me over the past week about Jimmy Butler. I still stand behind my thought that Jimmy Butler was not the right fit for this Houston Rockets team. Doesn't matter now, he is signed, he's the Philadelphia. But Jimmy Butler, as talented as he is, would probably not be a great fit on or off the court for the Rockets. I don't really see Jimmy Butler sitting in the corner waiting for James Harden to dish the ball at the last minute to try to shoot a three. Now, you know, that's not a Harden bash. You guys know I'm Harden great. You know, Harden is the reigning MVP. He's a great talent. But here's what I would tell you about James Harden. James Harden, the league MVP last year. But it was Chris Paul that the Rockets could not win without. And just as long as you know James Harden and his role is he's a heck of a competitor. He has great offense. Last season, his defense was better. He's athletic. He's quick. He's super talented. He does things that are really tough to defend. But when the game or when a series, when he's in an elimination game, that's not his strongest place to be. I mean, he doesn't perform like you would expect. But let me say this: like I would expect an MVP to perform. We've gotten to know who he is and what his limitations are. What his strengths and his weaknesses are, we all have them. And as long as we don't expect for James Harden to be that guy, you can be pleased with what you get from him. So, hey, good morning, Andre. Welcome. Thank you for being a part of the show. What is on your mind this morning, Pamela and Andre? I'm talking about the Rockets right now and the Golden State Warriors, the two teams that faced off in a seven-game series in the Western Conference Finals last year. What a difference 7 months makes. The Warriors are 12-3. It still looks like they're going to be the team to beat in the NBA this year. But they're kind of having their own controversy with the Draymond Green and Kevin Durant issue. While on the other side, the Rockets look anything but like a Western Conference final contender so far this season. They are struggling. They are 6-7. A win tonight would get them back to 500. They play the Golden State Warriors at the Toyota Center, and I think it is a tall order to think the Rockets can win this game, but it depends on maybe they turn the corner, maybe they woke up, they've been awakened, and the Denver game is an indication of what we're going to see moving forward. Perhaps that is the case. The Rockets, the Warriors tonight will be without Steph Curry, who is still, he has an injury that left abductor, so he's going to be out, I think, maybe 5 games or so. So he will not play tonight. Draymond Green will be back, so... some highlights about the Rockets' last game. They shot almost 55% in Denver, and including converting on 26 out of 34 shots inside the three-point arc. You know, James Harden said it's getting there because after the way they started, it clearly shook their confidence, and that's understandable. I mean, imagine anything you do in life, on your job or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, and you have this expectation that you're going to perform at this level, and you don't, and you're not sure why. And so, okay, a couple times out, you know, a couple days on the job, you're not really doing what performing like you think you should. But then now you're like, wait a minute, I haven't been able to get it together for a minute. It begins to shake your confidence. That's what we see with the Rockets. It's no different. Andre says, I think as long as they depend on James Harden, they'll be losing. You know, I've been accused of being a James Harden basher before. You know, I am clear about what he brings. He has a lot of offense. He was the MVP last year. But clearly he is not enough. Without Chris Paul last year, they could not win. They could not close out the Warriors. Okay? They went up 3-2. They couldn't close them out. And Game 7 was on their own home court, and they just couldn't get it done. So I think the Rockets are having to really address it. I hope that last year wasn't their window. I don't think the window with this current group of players is real long. You know, you guys know I'm a big Chris Paul fan. Chris Paul is a year older this year. You know, he has been plagued from time with nagging injuries throughout his career. And Dominique Wilkins said this last week, I saw an interview that he did when talking about Carmelo Anthony. He said, Father Time never loses, right? And he said that as it related to Carmelo Anthony saying, you know, were you just not able to do the things you used to do? and you're a superstar and you're a future Hall of Famer, it's really difficult to accept those other roles, like for Carmelo coming off the bench. Although he said whatever role they need me to play. But let me say this, and let me, if you're listening to the show, let me get your thoughts on this. I know it's got to be hard. Good morning, Sylvia, my sister. Hey. I know it's got to be difficult. I can only imagine it to be a player of his caliber and then be asked to come off the bench. But does it make it more difficult if perhaps the person that you're coming off the bench behind, the person playing in front of you, you don't really think is better than you? Is that the case? Is that what makes it more difficult? Now, I've heard both sides of the coin. I've talked to different people that cover the Rockets. And many of them say, well, you know, Carmelo's just not realistic about his skill set right now. He is not as good as he used to be. And he doesn't realize that he is not as good as he used to be. But should Ennis be starting before Carmelo Anthony? Is that what you guys think? I'm just curious. I just wonder. I mean, James Ennis III, he had 16 points and 4 rebounds. And the win over Denver, I was just looking back at the stats. And he played 33 minutes. Chris Paul played 32 minutes. He had 21 points. PJ Tucker played 40 minutes. And he had 12 points and 6 rebounds. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think they've got to figure it out. But here's the other thing I think. I think that the Rockets, I think it's a good idea if D'Antoni just considers tweaking their offense, right? I don't know that they're the team that can just sit there and beat you with threes anymore. I don't know. I think that clearly, you know, like he said before, three counts more than the two, but if you don't make it, you get nothing for it. And so I'm not saying they should completely change everything they do. But, yeah, you know, maybe to mix it up just a little bit. You've got to be really, really good at that to make it work. And when you're not, you don't have anything. So you don't have anything to really fall back on. We saw it against the Warriors last year. And this Rockets team we've seen so far is not the team that has not just that kind of offense, but more importantly, they don't have the defense. So, you know, they're getting back Jim Budeznik, who is the defensive coordinator, if you will, of the Rockets team. He is coming out of retirement. He should be back at the end of the month, I believe, after Thanksgiving, to care of some family stuff. And so we'll see if that is, you know, we'll see if that's going to be the difference for them. Because defensively, they were a really good team last year. They have not been this year. Their defense kind of fed their offense. And none of it's been great. Again, the win against Denver on Tuesday, they looked better, and they just have to keep defending better, because when they play defense at a high level, they feel their offense is going to come around. They're not really worried about the offense, but probably would be at any point. That's going to be the game tonight. I will be there, so make sure you follow me on Twitter at Kim White Davis. I will be posting there and a little bit on Facebook from the Rockets and Warriors game tonight. So, yeah. In the last 5 games, the Rockets are 3-2, okay? They beat Denver, Indiana. They beat Indiana twice, and they've lost to San Antonio and OKC. So they've had 2 losses in their division, right? Moving on to football, if you will, the Houston Texans are still riding that 6-game win streak. Last week was the bye week. They were off. They head to the nation's capital this weekend. They take on the Redskins on Sunday. The Texans are 6-3. And what do you think? Are the Texans good enough to really make a run? Is this Texans team? Now, Houston is favored by 3 on Sunday. The Redskins are 6-3. The Texans are 6-3. And, you know, so I don't think anybody would have thought that this game was going to be a game of, you know, first place teams when the schedule came out, right? Kind of like how we talked about the Warriors and the Rockets. everyone thought that was going to be a huge game, right? It's not so much a huge game now. It's a big, big game for the Rockets. They need to they need something to boost their confidence and to continue to turn things around. A win tonight would be huge for them. But in the NFL, I don't think anyone expected the Texans and the Rockets would be in this matchup between first place teams. So the Redskins have a two-game lead over the Eagles in the East. Philadelphia has to play New Orleans. That's my sister's new team, the Saints, 8-1 on the road. So the Texans are returning from their bye week, had all their players on the field practicing for the first time all season. So they've been a little banged up, right? Now they have had a chance to regroup and get some rest, and hopefully they will continue to build on what they're doing. Like, just started watching football again this season, so I've been excited to see the Texans. You know, it has been exciting. I tell you, you know, I watched them all the time, and I've been really excited about what I've seen from. I like them defensively. They've been banged up. We know that offensively, the offensive line is a place we've had a lot of conversation about. They've got to continue to shore that up. They have looked better. It is fun to watch Deshaun Watson. Okay, he is recovered from that last knee injury he had last season. He looks like he's really taken the next step. You know, in his sophomore season, he looks confident. He's not making mistakes. And the Thursday night game they played against the Dolphins, I think he had five touchdown passes, only 4 incompletions. No turnovers. And then in the last game, they've just played really well. I mean, they've not made mistakes. He's not making mistakes. Of course, DeAndre Hopkins is, what do you say about him? Amazing. And they have now that they have Demaryius Thomas, and he's had an extra week to get ready because they got him in a trade on Tuesday, and then they played the Broncos that Sunday. And you know, this is a challenging offense to learn because of all the terminology. But it was go back to the game against the Broncos. players. Deshaun Watson completed 17 of 24 passes in that game for 213 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. I mean, you know, he averaged more yards per carry on a rush than anybody else did, right? But he's, you know, DeAndre Hopkins had 105 yards and a touchdown. Demaryius Thomas is 51 yards. Jordan Thomas had a touchdown catch for 7 yards. But, you know, they're moving the ball around. They're doing some things, but defensively, they've been really good. I mean, J.J. Watt has looked really good. There are some who say outside of the city, right, because in the city, everybody thinks it's J.J. Watt. Kareem Jackson is the defensive MVP. Clowney has been playing lights out. They are just – and the young guys. They've got some young guys in the secondary. Reed is looking really good. McKinney's kind of coming on. Merciless is starting to hear his name be called. So this Texas team is kind of exciting to watch. They are 6-3. It is the AFC South, and you know, not the strongest division in football, but 6-3 is 6-3. And this weekend they face off against the Washington Redskins. Texans are 3-point favorites in that game, and here's some things that are interesting about the game. Okay. let me say this. One of my favorite players, Jonathan Joseph, was nominated this week for, let me get it right, it's a sportsmanship award. You know, if you don't know, I'm a big Jonathan Joseph fan. And let's see here. I'll have to pull it up because make sure I didn't miss anything from the Rockets. He's just a good guy, right? He's a good guy. He works hard. 32 players. Oh, here we go. Jonathan Joseph selected as the 2018 Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award nominee. So good for him. And in short, for the past 13 seasons, Joseph has exemplified sportsmanship, integrity, and respect for both his opponents and the game through his play and leadership on the field. Since entering the league in 2006, he leads all active cornerbacks in the NFL in passes defense and career total tackles. In 2018, the Texas captain became the third fastest player in NFL history to reach 175 career passes defense. So he's often singled out on the field about his leadership from head coach Bill O'Brien. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. So a panel of former players from the NFL Legends community select the finalists for the AFC and for the NFC. And the eight finalists will be listed on the Pro Bowl ballot under the NFL Sportsmanship Award category when the players vote next month, actually on December the 14th. So last year's player was linebacker Luke Kuechly of the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, it's about demonstrating integrity on and off the field. So congratulations to Jonathan Joseph for being nominated. And I think he's certainly very deserving, but also probably about that. Oh, look, Andre says no one cares about the Saints. Nobody cares about the Saints is what he's saying. So I tell you, Andre, those Saints look pretty good, though, right? Those Saints look pretty good. Just ask the Rams. My sister is a new Saints fan. She's not that invested, so you don't have to worry about that. But it is interesting times in the NFC. I think you saw that with the Rams. I think this weekend probably the biggest game that's taking place in the NFL is Monday night. It's the Rams and the Chiefs. And so what we know is that the Rams have high-powered offense, not quite enough. We saw that when they fell to the Saints last week. Marcus Brown said, stop hating. Stop hating on who? On the Saints? Or who we hating on here? The Saints are definitely in the conversation about the best teams in the league, about coming out of the NFC in terms of, you know, who's going to make it to the Super Bowl. And the Rams are still a part of the conversation, but let's go back to who are the Rams playing this weekend? Let me pull it up for you. So, I mean, not the Rams. The Rams are playing the Chiefs. But great news. Their commissioner just got a 5-year extension. So, the Saints fans. You guys are quiet. Let somebody throw a rock. Sylvia says, hold on a minute. Okay. And Marcus Brown, Marcus is talking about the Saints too. Okay. The Saints fans are loyal and they're not having it. So you Saints fans think this is your year, that this is the time for you to get there, to get back to the NFC Championship game and ultimately the Super Bowl? I mean, the Super Bowl in Atlanta this year, wouldn't that be something, right, that the Saints would play in Atlanta for a Super Bowl? That would be quite, but I tell you what, wouldn't it be amazing if it'd be the Saints and the Texans? Okay, don't call me crazy or a homer. I'm just kind of throwing it out there. So in the NFL, tonight Green Bay plays at Seattle. Who would have thought we'd be talking about Seattle being 4-5, Green Bay being 4-4-1, right? We said Super Bowl bound. So the Saints this week, the Philadelphia Eagles play at New Orleans. New Orleans on Sunday. The Saints are 9.5-point favorites. The Saints are 8-1, and the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, are 4-5. Yeah, I don't expect a whole lot out of the Eagles. I think the Saints win that game, and they probably win it kind of handily. Kansas City is playing at the Rams. The Rams are 3-point favorites. Those teams are both 9-1. So those are the best the best teams in the league. And what are the Patriots doing this week? Are they off or are they playing? Let's see. This must be their bye week. I think it's their bye week. So, from your lips to God's ears. I know, right? It would be, Super Bowl would be fun, right? It'd be fun. Super Bowls in Atlanta are always a good time, as long as there's no ice storm. Remember that? Was it an ice storm? I think it was I was in New Orleans still. So, it must have been 2001, because then in 2002 it was in New Orleans. Okay, anyway, I digress. Those are some of the big games that are happening this weekend. The Tennessee Titans are 5-4, and of course beat the New England Patriots last week after beating the Dallas Cowboys. And, they play in Indianapolis this weekend, so that is definitely, a team to keep your eyes on. And Pittsburgh has quietly kind of ascended to the top of their division. They're 6-2-1. They play Jacksonville. Man, has Jacksonville fallen from grace or what on Sunday? Any of you guys have thoughts about the fact that Le'Veon Bell will not play at all this season, that he will not he left $14.5 million on the table, and to basically save himself for next season, off season, and to become a free agent and get what he hopes is a better contract? I've heard a few different thoughts about it, but I guess thinking about not playing an entire season and leaving $14.5 million on the table just seems like a lot. We see what happened with Dez Bryant last week when he got injured, right? Just right when he got signed with the New Orleans Saints. You say, well, I see why players start to say, hey, I'm going to protect myself because next summer is going to be my big payday. And for Le'Veon Bell, I think it was really more about not just more money, but more guaranteed money. But listen, best wishes to him. Somebody will hire him. Somebody will. He'll be in somebody's camp next season and find he has a lot to offer. But I was reminded about this. In the last four seasons, he's missed a start twice because of being suspended, once because of a holdout, and once because of an injury. So he missed 23% of the games over the last four seasons. Those are things that teams will hold against you when they're talking about signing you as a free agent. All right, we're out of time for today. I am getting much closer to wrapping things up in half an hour. But thank you guys for being here. Remember, next week's show is going to be on Wednesday since Thanksgiving is next Thursday. If there's something that you want me to talk about next week or in the future, or if you want an interview you'd like to see me get, let me hear from you. In the meantime, be sure to follow me on Twitter. I will be following Rockets and Texans, and of course, TSU this weekend, and other big college games as well. But definitely, if you want to have Rockets updates and Texans updates, you know where to find me, right here on Facebook and also on Twitter at Kim Y. Davis. Remember, share the video. I don't think I put that today, so that we can continue to build our Chalk Talk community. And also, I want to tell you this. I have a Chalk Talk live event. It's not a show. It's a tailgate party. So it's coming up on December the 5th. You can see it on my Facebook page as an event. You can register online. The tickets are limited. I look forward to seeing you guys there. My insurance agent, Mary Rousseff of State Farm, is one of our sponsors. I'm super excited to have her be a part of the event this year. It is going to be at Pico's Restaurant on the corner of Richmond and Kirby in Houston. It's December 5th. Booker Woolfolk will be my special guest. He'll be my co-host for the evening. He'll be our guest coach. So we're going to have a lot of fun. So go on my Facebook page. Make sure you register. The tickets are $30. You get a couple of cocktails. You get appetizers. We're going to have door prizes and a whole lot of fun. So make sure that you spread the word and register for Chalk Talk. I'm going to put that here. I call it a tailgate party so that you're not confused with the show, right? If you will, be sure to register for Chalk Talk. It's December the 5th, like I said, at Pico's, and tickets are limited. So it'll be a lot of fun, and I hope to see you there. All right, we're out of time for today. Make it a great week. Make sure that you do something kind for yourself and something kind for somebody else. As always, thank you for being a part of the show, and have a great, great week. I will see you next Wednesday for Chalk Talk. All right, make sure you register. Again, that's go to my Facebook page, Kim Y. Davis. You'll see the event pinned to the top of the page. It is called Chalk Talk Tailgate Party. It is our event for women. You can bring your guy too if you like, but it's going to be a whole lot of fun. There'll be some networking. You'll learn a little bit more about sports. You'll be able to ask some questions live and in person. We'll have cocktails, appetizers, door prizes, and you don't want to miss it, right? You want to be in the room. So thank you in advance for your support. Go to Kim Y. Davis on Facebook. That's the link to register. And I look forward to seeing you all next Wednesday here for Chalk Talk and December 5th for our Chalk Talk tailgate party. Have a great week.